Okay, Bezos Hashem, we are in Chemis HaLevis Sha'a, we talk in Perek Dalet. So, we began last, we were in the middle of discussing the application of Bitachen, the various areas of life, and we've been spending these last few weeks on is the application of Bitachen within our interpersonal activities. So right now what we're going to be discussing is sometimes you need to ask somebody for help in some form or the other. Sometimes someone asks you for help in one form or the other. So how do we apply the combination of asking the person for help, needing the person's help, with bitachon that Hashem takes care of? And also the other way around. Someone asks me for help. How do I combine the desire and the mitzvah to do chesed along with the understanding that l'maisa Hashem is taking care of them? So let's again do briefly, even though we saw this paragraph last week, but let's do it again briefly in order to have the full picture. V'chein kishayivakish. It's in the middle of Perek Dalet, somewhere out there.
Page 424
in the Talmud. Page 424. Yeah, Shukra. So v'chein kishayivakish echad mehem chifetz. So when you ask somebody for help, no, I'm going to just say it outside. Just say the gist of what we said outside, just in order to have the whole picture and then move on. When you need help from somebody, the attitude is, it's not in this person's hands. It's like everything else. It's Hashem deciding whether I should get what I need or not. Let's say, we gave some examples last week. Let's give another example. Let's say a doctor. You want a doctor to heal you, treat you, etc. And sometimes it's very straightforward. It's a matter of taking a throat culture, getting the result, you know, prescribing antibiotics. Let's not talk about those cases, even though it's relevant there too. But let's talk about, let's say, for example, a little bit of a complex surgery, which could be done to various levels of success. And let's also talk about a case. I want to talk about a very specific case, just as a classic example. Not pikuach nefesh, not something life-threatening, just something, a broken bone or something, which can either work, it cannot work, it can be perfect, it can be not perfect, it can be half successful with some, a little bit of a crookedness that stays, or something like that, right? So, first of all, we've already discussed part of the ishtadlis is to figure out who is the best person to go to. It's part of the ishtadlis. The ishtadlis is to set up a reasonable situation for the derech hateva things to work out. But now, okay, you've decided on this doctor. Once you've decided on this doctor, don't be thinking in terms of, can he really do it? Can he not really do it? What are the odds? Don't be thinking in those terms anymore. What meaning, once you're past the stage of figuring out, this is the doctor. Now, as far as you're concerned, you want to go to a place of 50-50. He can be a great doctor, 50-50. He can be a not-so-great doctor, 50-50. Why? Because I did my ishtadlis in choosing the doctor. Now that I did my ishtadlis, it's totally up to what will Hashem decide for me. So this is point number one. When you're relying on somebody for help, don't think in terms of their ability or their lack of ability. Think in terms of my ishtadlis was to try to get help through this person. Now it's not about this person anymore. It's about, does Hashem want me to get healed or not? That's all. And therefore, if it actually does work out, and the two routes now, did work out, or chas v'shalom, didn't work out well. So if it did work out, then you don't go around saying or thinking, oh, it's a good thing I chose this doctor. No. The reason it worked out is because Hashem decided you should get healed. Question?
Does that mean you're not supposed to go for the best?
Oh, so I deliberately started after that point. We'll back up to that, Glina. We'll back up to that. But right now we're talking about you took the best, most responsible choice possible. Yes, Robertson Shvei.
And he said, there's nothing more I could do, but you people have a God.
Oh, very good. That's right. That's right. That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. This person did the job. Okay? He got it done. So who got it done? Hashem got it done. And therefore, it's not, oh, wow. I wasn't sure. You know, back 2 weeks ago, I was deliberating between Dr. A and Dr. B. Ooh, it's a good thing I chose Dr. A because he got the job done. Who knows what would have happened? No, Dr. B would have got the job done also. Because once again, once you went through your reason, now again, assuming you're talking about two good doctors, there was sensible reason to wonder which one, not a witch doctor from Africa versus a top guy in Ichalon, okay? But two good doctors, which you weren't sure, you know, you heard certain, each one had certain pros and cons, and it was hard to make a decision and decided on A, and then it worked out. So you don't say, wow, it's a good thing I went with A. No. Choosing A or B was your ishtadlus. After that, it was about Hashem deciding whether you should get it or not. You got it. That means that was Hashem's decision for you. And this is the way you want to relate to it. Question.
It's part of Hashem's decision whether you're going to get well or not, whether you did ishtadlus.
Yes.
Whether you did your proper ishtadlus.
Yes. Yes.
You can't just sit back and say, I'll pick any doctor because Hashem will decide if I'm going to get well or not.
Oh, right? So this is basically echoing your question.
Right. Right. To send you in a certain direction, and you've got sent to this doctor and said, okay, well, Hashem sent me here, and therefore probably is the best one for me.
So let's back up to that, right? I started the discussion in the middle. I started the discussion after you already chose the doctor and how to approach it, because that's what the Chavos HaLevavos is discussing now. I did not discuss how do you go about deciding on the doctor. Do you just pull a name out of a book? We'll back up to that, Blina. But right now, we're specifically focusing on the attitude afterwards. The attitude afterwards. And I definitely want to put emphasis on that because so very often, we reiterate this in this year, the whole issue of the whole discussion of bitachon ends up turning into bitachon versus ishtadlus, bitachon versus ishtadlus. So that's a very, very small part of the whole discussion. And that's why right now I'm not talking about the bitachon versus the ishtadlus angle. We're talking about the bitachon when it's not about ishtadlus. The ishtadlus was done or wasn't done. Meaning we're past that stage. And the ishtadlus was done and now it's about the attitude, right? So the doctor was chosen. This is the doctor. He got the job done. And this is what the Chavos HaLevavos wants us to understand. Now, do not attribute the success to the doctor. Attribute the success to the fact that Hashem wanted you to get better. Now, therefore, he says, don't invest yourself emotionally in the doctor, meaning as follows. Give him a menschliche thank you. But don't start worrying too much about, I better keep in touch with this guy. I better have a good, you know, I should really send him, you should send him a gift. But not, it might be a different kind of gift if it's simply a derech eretz, a kind of thank you, and the kind of gift of, I want to make sure he remembers me, right? You don't want that as part of the equation. If there are good doctors out there, now, who did the job, I want to thank him with derech eretz, but not thank him as, this is a fine point that the Chavos HaLevavos is saying, he was not your savior. He was Hashem's shliach, to bring you what Hashem wanted, would have sent to you through any other decent doctor. And therefore, it's a fine line. Gratitude, derech eretz, yes. But the full emotional sense of, wow, this is what made or break or broke me. Didn't break me. And also in the future, I better invest in this because this is really, I see he's the guy, not to be thinking along those lines. And also the other side of the coin. The surgery didn't work, Chas v'Shalom. Surgery failed. So here, very often people start thinking, I should have gone to the other guy. This is part of the test. No, you did a reasonable ishtadlus. Then it was only about what Hashem wanted. It could have been a better doctor. It would have been the same result. It could have been the same doctor, a better doctor, a different doctor. It would have been the same result. Again, yes, presuming you did a reasonable ishtablis in the first place. And therefore, the attitude now is, what's your attitude toward the doctor? Sayyid al-Khalil Salafi says something very interesting. The same exact attitude as if he would have been matzliach. And that is, sing derech eretz and thank you for your efforts. Right? Where did the failure come from? From the fact that Hashem had this decided for me that this person should be suffering from that failed surgery.
So,
we have a comment. I'm just so people should be.
When, well, I don't remember what he had, but they gave up on his child. The doctor did the surgery, he did what he could, and he saved the child's life. So I don't remember what we went to at the time. And he said, what can I do? What could I do to show my course? I told my appreciation to him. He said to me, take the child every year to the doctor. Tell him thank you. Show him that.
That is beautiful. I'll repeat that briefly for our computer kehila. just told a very beautiful story about a doctor who did save a child's life. And the question afterwards was, what is the way to show that gratitude? What is the way to show that there are parents? And very profound answer was, take the kid to visit him once a year. Let him see on an ongoing basis the effects of what he did. Yashu koyach. Yashu koyach. Okay. Now, well, let's back up. I see there's another question here. This is another question. Now I want to back up to address the questions that were raised, including this question that's coming here on the chat. And the question is, well, first, the other questions that were raised, both of you basically making the same point. How does it work in the first place when you're choosing a doctor? Do you just say, well, Hashem decided whether it should work or not, so it doesn't really make a difference? That's question number one. Now, the other question that's being raised here is there ishtablis in giving gifts to the staff so that they should feel good about your family member and keep giving him good care? Okay. Those are both kosher questions to address. So the first question, the ishtablis in choosing the right doctor. So here we're going to go back to the broad guidelines that we've discussed in general about bitachon and ishtablis when it comes to parnasa, when it comes to shidduchim, when it comes to everything else. And it's the same thing when it comes to choosing a doctor. The klal hadavar is that you want to do enough ishtablis to make it make sense if it's matzliach. Okay? Meaning, certainly you should. Don't just say, oh, whatever. Certainly you should go through a reasonable process of research, not an obsessive process. We'll explain, we'll elaborate on that momentarily. But certainly do go through a reasonable process of research in order to see who are the better doctors out there. Where would we say, now, to make it clear like we always do, there's no way to give absolute cut and dried lines. But the lines can be clearer than many people tend to think. Many people tend to think, oh, there's just no way to figure it out. There are principles to work according to. And therefore, as we've said other times, for example, where would the ishtablis be out of place? Would be out of place when you're not really going to change the natural reality. It's just about like grasping at straws. Like, for example, give an example. If you start researching and you say, okay, there are two doctors available. One has a 30% success rate. He blows 2 out of 3 surgeries. The other one has a 90% success rate. Okay? Then we say, go to the one who has a 90% success rate. Clearly so. But what happens if, for example, the situation is such that the doctor in Beit Shemesh has a 98% success rate? Okay? You heard about a doctor in France who has a 99% success rate. Then we say, don't go to France. If you go to a doctor who has a 98% success rate, you have comfortably covered the Derech HaTeva Ishtadlus, leave the other 2% up to Hashem. That's how the Chazon Ish lays it down. And also in the other direction, Chas V'Shalom, let's say the situation is the other way around, Chalila, that simply understood there's no hope. Is the doctor here? 3% chance of being able to help. And then across the world, there's a doctor who has a 4% chance of being able to help. So if you go to the doctor with the 4% chance of help, you're going to need a miracle, right? We're not going to say, oh, well, now it makes sense. I'll go to him and I'll be fine. 96%, it's going to fail, right? So here we say, you really need a miracle anyways. Don't grasp at that last straw and say, okay, I'm going to go to the doctor with the 4% instead of the 3%. Now, again, these are guidelines. Where exactly do you draw the line? What happens if it's 95 versus 93? I don't know. I don't know where you draw the lines. And in each case, it has to be judged on an individual basis. But these are the broad strokes. These are the broad strokes. And in terms of broad strokes, they are understandable enough. But, question?
I have a question. There's so many beautiful stories, but this is very, very casual and deadly. There was a bugger in had a child that needed major surgery, which is in a big hospital, but the doctor said it's a 50-50 chance. He could live, he could die. We have no way of knowing what will be, if it'll be cured, if it won't. The pincer also didn't know what to do. Called his Rosh Hashiva, and he told his Rosh Hashiva, this is a story, I have this child. We don't know what to do. Shouldn't we operate? What should we do? So then he told him, let me think about it. I'll give you a tshuva tomorrow. He got on the morning, got up early. He went to walk to this hospital from Philadelphia to Washington. He met with the doctor.
Rebellion went to the hospital.
Yeah. He went there to the hospital. He met with the doctor. He sat face to face with him. And he watched his expression when he said to do the operation, not to do the operation, all the pluses, the amount of kids are there. In the morning, the bus went to the hospital and he told the doctor, I'll have an answer for you, you know, later on in the day, whether we're going to do it or not. He said, well, your Rosh Hashiva was here this morning. My Rosh Hashiva was here this morning. What was he doing here? He called him up and he said to him, I didn't need to go to Washington to support the doctor. He said, why did you do it? He said, I had his face to face with him and see his expression when he was describing, shouldn't we do the operation? And we're going to do the operation. And
no.
He went there and they did the exact with him and did the operation.
I'm going to repeat that briefly. It's very, very pertinent. I'm going to repeat that briefly,
yeah.
Because especially since it brings out the point, very, very firsthand, Maisa with the Reb Elias Shvei. The story in brief was that there was a bacher who was very deliberating about whether to do a surgery or not. Consulted. Yeah. Oh, we got to have them. Wasn't sure if he should make the surgery or not. It was high stakes. Consulted with his Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Elias Shvei. Unbeknownst to the Bacher, Reb Elias Shvei said he would give him an answer the next day. Unbeknownst to the Bacher, Reb Elias Shvei went in the interim, traveled to the hospital, sat and met with the doctor in order to watch his facial expressions, what he looked like when he talked about it might be successful, what it looked like when he said it would not be successful, and to judge from his facial expressions how much confidence he has, etc. And it was the next day when the bacher came back to the doctor. The doctor told him, oh, your Rosh Yeshiva was here discussing your case. You know what this brings out? The point that we said, that every individual case, kedai to consult with a great person on an individual basis. And I'm reiterating that because it's important. We're talking here, we're giving broad strokes. It's important to have those broad strokes in order to know how to approach the situation. But at the end of the day, each individual case needs its own assessment. The other question that was raised there was, this is a very classic, common question. Anybody who has had to be in the hospital for a period of time with a relative knows about this question. Is there a shtadlus in giving gifts to the staff so that they feel good about your family member and keep giving him good care? I don't think that we need to elaborate too much. It seems that the simple, straightforward answer is yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're talking about the reality that we're in. The reality that we're in is that definitely you cannot just go to a hospital and say, well, he's in the hospital, he's been cared for. It makes a very, very big difference. It very, very much ups the quality if there are people on the scene helping out and doing what they can to enhance the staff's attention in every way. So here we would say that this is not grasping at straws. This sort of effort is not grasping at straws. It really can make a very significant difference in the person's welfare. I'll actually add, this kind of brings together Mrs. Shvei's story with this question, was that the brother, in Yeshiva and Rishon, he had a friend in his shir who was very ill, and he was in and out of the hospital, very ill. And the Rosh Yeshiva made a point of sending a big lunch platter to the nurse's station every day on behalf of that bachur. You should know that okay. We move on. So that's as far as you asking other people for help, needing help from people. If they provide the help, it was Hashem, they get a derech eretz, they don't get a title of savior. If they don't provide the help, it didn't work out. So if you know that they intended, they wanted to get the job done, you give them the same gratitude, the same thankful derech eretz, but lemais, at the end of the day, the failure, the fact that it didn't get done was not because, oh, if he would have worked harder, if he would have really wanted to, I did my ishtadlis, Hashem decided how it should actually play out. Now we move on to the other side of the coin. Also, if you're approached, can you help with something? Can you help with something? So yisabev la'asoyseh b'chol libo. Sincerely try to get it done. V'yishtadel ha'ashlimo b'matzpunim. And really, give it your all to get the job done. Don't just make a show, say, yes, I'll try. But really give it your all. If it's possible for you. Now, the year misha mevakshar oily shtadelei boy, and it's really appropriate you should be doing it. Meaning, he's hinting there that whenever you're approached and asked for something, so there's always the considerations to make in terms of how much you should be sacrificing to do this. We're going to set that aside for the moment. Maybe we'll come back to it, but I don't want to get to his main point here. But once you decided that, yes, I should be doing this, I should be doing this, so give it your all. And where does bitachon comes in? So here, I heard someone say this in a kind of like a crass kind of way. I'm going to quote it, even though I don't really want to quote it, because I want to get across the point behind it while I'm a little bit like nervous about the actual words used. The words used were, when it comes to helping other people, don't be a mommy. Don't be a mommy. Don't have a muna. Don't have a muna. Don't have bitach. Now, I don't want to say it that way, but we get the point. The point is, I would say it like this. Don't dump it on bitach. Meaning sometimes we become very great bali bitachin when it comes to other people's needs. Listen, Hashem wants you to get it. You'll undoubtedly get it. I'm here to be mechazik yo bitach. Right? But please don't ask me to take out 15 minutes. So this we say, no, you give it your all. After giving it your all, that's where bitachon kicks in. Meaning, you need to have bitachon. But like we've said in many other areas, the bitachon should not compromise the ishtadlis. That's so often the challenge of bitachon and ishtadlis. It's the main challenge, not figuring out where to draw the line between bitachon and ishtadlis, but on the contrary, the main challenge is how to do both together. I mean, that's so often the misconception. Here, do you do bitachon or ishtadlus? The implication being that if it's time for ishtadlus, then there's no bitachon. No. Most often, it's about doing the ishtadlus with bitachon. Doing the ishtadlus with the understanding that I'm going through the motions that Hashem wants me to go through, and I'm giving it my all with the understanding that l'maisa it's in Hashem's hands. And that's what we're saying here also. When it comes to somebody else, you do everything you can, but then you say whether it will actually work is l'maisa not up to me. But don't let that, tough, fine line, don't let that allow you to give it a little slack. You give it your all with the attitude of, and then say, okay, Hashem wants it to happen, it'll happen. What's the nafka mean? I mean, what's the implication? The implication is that if at the end of the day it didn't get done, you don't beat yourself up over it. You don't beat yourself up over it. Yeah, if you were negligent, do beat yourself up over it. But if you did what you can and it didn't work out, that's where we say, okay, this is what Hashem wanted. I feel terrible toward the other person. Don't feel terrible toward the other person. This is, again, the challenge of bitachon. This is exactly what Hashem wanted after I did everything I could. And therefore, you say, im yeshlimei al yadai. So here again, we get into the formula we discussed before. If it did work and if it didn't work. If you managed to get the job done, Hashem decided, this is how you want to be thinking. Hashem decided that you should be the means, you should be the vehicle of him help, of him helping the other person. I'm the vehicle. Thank Hashem for this chus. Don't say, like we said before about the doctors, don't say, you're a smart man, you called the right person. No. Hashem gave me this chus of being the vehicle, and I'm appreciative of that. I don't view myself as a savior. I don't say, oh, wow, now you really owe me one. I was the only one who could have helped you here. That's number one. And if you don't actually manage to get it done, don't beat yourself up. Don't feel guilty, because it's not about, you know, the other person wishes you did it. Don't view yourself through his lenses. You have to remember this is about me and Hashem. It's about him and Hashem. Hashem decided what I'd be able to do. Hashem decided what should be for him. It's not because I was too incapable that he didn't end up getting what he needed. It's because that was Hashem's decision. The idea is chaveroi shelokitzer. What do you do with the other person? Don't fall apart. Don't say, I don't know how to face him. No, face the person calmly and say, I did everything I could. But provided that you actually did. That's what Chavisolam is saying now. Do everything you can. It doesn't work out. It's not about you. Be able to face the person and say, I did everything I could. This is how Hashem decided it should play out. Okay. So I hope that's clear enough. This is bitachon when it comes to needing help from others or helping others. Next, bitachon in other interpersonal issues. How does bitachon come into play when you have people who are out to get you? They have enemies. They have competitors. You have people who want to trip you up. So you've tach being a name alabaris ale. Here also, what you want to do in your mind is kind of like erase them from the picture. These people have absolutely no impact on my mind. This is about me and Hashem. I just see through them and say, they might have all kinds of plans. If it's not what Hashem has in mind, it's not going to happen. If it does happen, it's because Hashem decided it for me, and my communication is straight with him, not about them. They didn't do anything. What do you mean? They really do have the person's evil in mind, and they do have all those bad intents. Again, that's between them and Hashem. But as far as I'm concerned, they can have all the bad designs. If Hashem doesn't want it to happen, it won't happen. If it does happen, it's between me and Hashem. And the Zero Tower brought this up beautifully. Question.
I don't know. It says that you should not pay them back in kind, but with kindness. Like, that's a very Christian thing. And what about the Holocaust and the Hitler and all of that? You're supposed to not try to kill those people. You're not supposed to have enough.
This is very, I'm moving through this slowly, deliberately, because each piece here has to be broken down properly.
Okay.
The answer to both of your questions is, if someone slaps you in the cheek, don't turn him the other cheek. That would be a very stupid thing to do. What do you do? If he wants to slap you in the other cheek, hit him first. Okay? But what does he mean when he says, replace them with kindness? No, he doesn't mean he slapped you in the cheek, give him a dollar. Slapped you in the other cheek, give him two. It's not what he's saying. We'll get there. We'll get there. But first is... That's number one. The mindset is, this is not about them, this is about Hashem. The Israel Talbot brought this out very beautifully. He said like this. He said, you know, before Kriya Shema, the first thing we say is a declaration of Mechila, right? Before Kriya Shema Lamita. We say, I forgive anybody who hurt me, offended me, harmed me, etc., etc., etc. So the Israel Talbot said like this. He said, throughout the day, he said, you start the day with the declaration of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What you're trying to do with that is set your sights for the entire day. Hashem Echad means there's only one force operating in my life, Hashem. Says, I'm moving into the day and I'm going to be encountering all kinds of people and all kinds of situations. There's only one thing going on. It's Hashem interacting with me, testing me, sending me curveballs, etc. I set that sight. I try to move through the day like that. But you know what? By 11 a.m., 12 p.m., I'm already really starting to lose that focus, right? There's somebody in my office who's doing a successful job making me forget that it's Hashem, and he's really convincing me that it's him. Fine. I lose the focus. I get upset. He offended me. So Shimshon Pinkus says, you know what? You begin the day like that, and at the end of the day, fine, you might have lost your focus throughout the day. But at the end of the day, settling in bed, you're lying in bed, things are quiet now. Now, you look back at the day and say, oh yes, I was very aggravated at that point, etc. But now I'm reminding myself, it's again Shema time, I'm circling back to Shema. This was Hashem. This was Hashem doing something with me, getting a message across to me, putting me through something. When I see that, I say, Hashem, oh, now that the dust is settling, I see it was you. So, Mele, Aleni Michael. I'm able to forgive that person. It wasn't about him. It was about Hashem. This was Mamish what David expressed, right? When Shimi ben Gera, that's an incident worth elaborating on, but when Shimi ben Gera came and insulted him so terribly when he was at his worst moment, David responded, Alekim am aloi kalel. These are Hashem's words coming through him. And also the other way around, you're worried about what this person will do to you. Remember, it's not about his power. This person is powerless. It's all about what does Hashem have in mind for me. And here's the tough part that was just quoted before. So that's number one. Before we get on to how to respond, that's what I'm stressing this. Before we get on to how to respond, it's the perspective. Afterwards is how to respond. Just like with everything else, the perspective is it's all Hashem. And you have Ishtadlus, right? What are the technical steps you're supposed to take after knowing that it's all Hashem? We're going to have the same thing here. So, for example, I will fill in here what he doesn't say. But I'll say, for example, yes, you have a person who's trying to harm you. So technical steps to take might be to summon him to a Din Torah, right? To take other steps to protect yourself. What the Chumash Sabbos wants to convey to us is do them the same way we talk about other ishtadlus. Don't get emotionally invested in it. Don't turn it into this is me against him. Turn it into Hashem put me into a situation. I have to take certain steps to protect myself. And I'm doing them in the same way I do any other form of ishtadlus, in the manner of I'm going through the motions and then I leave it up to Hashem. So here also, the more you can detach, and this is a tall order, I'm talking as though it's so easy, I'm talking to myself here. The more you can detach emotionally and say, I'm going to a Din Torah, you know what? I'm going to call him and offer him a ride. We're going to, that's a little exaggerated, but the concept, okay? I'm taking the steps I need to take to protect myself. I might even learn martial arts after I ask my Rav, right? I might even learn martial arts. And I might, so next time he approaches me, I might give him a knockout punch. And then you know what? I'm going to kneel down and see if I can do something about his black eye. And as he starts coming to, I'll back off and move a little bit off the scene. I'll even send him an email the next day recommending which doctor to go to for the broken nose I gave him. But the point is that it's not about a personal vendetta. I'm resisting that. He's trying. I'm not allowing myself to get schlepped into that. Easy words to say. Very easy words to say. Easier said than done. But you know what? Here, this year now, we're here to talk and hear and absorb the concepts. And then we dive in for Hatzlacha to actually be able to implement them when they come into play. How will I do? I don't know. But I'm trying to impress these ideas on my mind. And we're right in the middle. There's so much more to be said. It's Hashem next week. Agut Tavach. To you.
Thank you.
Him to you.
Thank you.
Questions,
what
yes.
What happened with Davin HaMelech? And again, kind of addressed what Marion brought up. But Davin HaMelech still, he didn't let him get away with that. He didn't punish the guy at the end. He punished Shlomo too. So in the end, he got what he deserved.
Oh, you're bringing up a very good point. The truth is that that incident with Davin HaMelech deserves a whole shiur in itself. It's one of the most amazing stories. That the truth is that, okay, David HaMelech, but okay, we're ready at the end of the shiur. That deserves a whole shiur in itself. That incident is a dazzling incident. It's one of the highlights of our history, that incident. It contains so many lessons. And you're right. David HaMelech, what he actually did was exactly that. He detached personally, and then in a roundabout way ensured that what has to happen, happened. That person, David had a duty to put him to death. But David said, you know what? Not in my lifetime. I'm not going to accommodate my own Yetzirah. I want to see this guy get what he deserves. I'm never going to see it. But my duty I have. It's my responsibility toward the Malchus to uphold it. And therefore, as long as I'm alive, he's going to be fine. He's going to be respected. I'm going to leave a message for after my death that the duty, Lamaisa, end up getting carried out. Get the vote.